The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
Being able to confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and confess all that we believe as we are gathered before Him together, confessing it to the Lord, but also to each other as a recognition of our faith in the Lord and what He is doing in each one of our lives. As a congregation, in these past weeks, we've been making our way through the Sermon on the Mount. And through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been telling His disciples what it means to be part of God's kingdom. And how do we, as people who are living in God's kingdom, respond in obedience to the call that Jesus Christ has in each one of our lives, or will have in each one of our lives? And Jesus has been particularly focused on the relationship and those who are in relationship with Him up to this point. He's been focusing on an outflowing of this is who you are in me and this is how I'm calling you to live. Now, as Jesus gets to the end of the sermon, Jesus gets His disciples and the crowds to reflect on a really important question. And the question is, are you in or are you out? Are you in or are you out? And this is a question that even disciples who have hung around Jesus for a while need to ask. Because we want to remember that Judas, who was with Jesus for all that time and who the disciples thought were part of the discipleship group, he wasn't in, he was out. And even though he was out, he was still able to cast out demons and he was able to preach and transformation would take place and the other disciples would look at Judas and they would go, he looks like he's one of us and he seems to be like he's one of us, but he's not. He's close to Jesus as one of the 12, and yet he is out. And all those crowds that are sitting there on the mountainside listening to this sermon of Jesus as well, there are those amongst the crowd who are still out. They might think they're in, but they are deceiving themselves. Indeed, they are perhaps self-deceiving in terms of their relationship with Jesus. So as we make our way through this closing section of the Sermon on the Mount, the same theme is coming through all the time. Are we in or are we out? That's a key issue that Jesus is talking about. And as he deals with this issue, he gives us a series of contrasts that he talks about. And the first contrast is between two gates and two roads. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So in this case, the gates and the roads that are beyond them are linked. It's very rare that you will see a gate that's set up in the middle of nowhere without a fence around next to it or something going beyond it. Gates go somewhere. They lead to a destination. They lead to a structure. They lead to a location. They're an entry point into a place. And so the gate will often give an indication of what is beyond, of what the road is beyond. So this particular gate, that's the gate at Luna Park, which has various freaky faces over the years. That's a gate that has since 1912 been a place of fun and fear for all Australians. This gate here, anyone want to guess what it is? It's Kirribilli House. That's where the Prime Minister lives. The current Prime Minister lives there. If you get to go behind that gate, you get to go and visit the Prime Minister. This gate is the gate that leads to the meat fridge at Woolworths. So the gates are an indicator of what is beyond. So Jesus talks about a wide gate. The thing about wide gates is they are inviting. They are able to accommodate any sort of baggage, And anything you want to bring with you, it's wide enough to be able to bring it through. You don't have to make a sacrifice of any kind to go through the wide gate. You don't have to change. You can live your own way. You can make your own rules. It tolerates many. And so the wide gate is a place of least resistance and no restrictions concerning life. It's very, very attractive. Especially because beyond the wide gate is the broad road. So it's not like the road beyond the wide gate all of a sudden narrows down as you go to a toll booth and then there's all sorts and then it narrows down. It's not like that. It stays wide. And so the broad road is reflective and continues to reflect the wide gate. You can keep on that road. It will accommodate all. It will enable you to come along without making changes. You can live life your own way. It is a place where everyone can just get along. It's a place of least resistance and no restrictions. And so, like the wide gate, it continues to be very, very attractive. But those on the gate, on that road, don't know where this road is actually going. In this particular case, the gate doesn't indicate the final destination. Just like the sheep going through that gate, they don't know the final destination. And this is the gate, the wide gate, that leads to destruction, the loss of eternal life with Jesus. That's where this road is headed to. Eternal destruction, eternal damnation. That's the wide gate and the broad road. In contrast, Jesus talks about the small gate. Now, since it's small, it's not necessarily easy to find, especially when the wide gate is really easy to find. The small gate, for people to fit through the small gate, they need to narrow down their focus. Not everything and anything can be brought through the narrow gate. In fact, those who go through the narrow gate are those who are willing to walk with Jesus in submission and obedience. Those who walk through the narrow gate reject temptation, reject self. They come to Jesus and they recognize that they haven't got everything together and that their life needs transformation. And so the narrow gate, the small gate, it's a place where we put our faith in Jesus. And many don't make that choice. Beyond the small gate continues the narrow road. This is the road that is walked by those who choose to follow Jesus, having their hearts and their lives regulated by the direction of Jesus as they walk in submission and obedience to Jesus, rejecting all that which is self and seeking to follow Jesus, being willing to suffer, being willing to go through difficulty, knowing that the path that is walked beyond this narrow path is the path of spiritual warfare. On the narrow path, we deny ourselves, we take up our cross daily, we follow Jesus, and we do this knowing that this is the road to eternal life. We have the wide gate and the broad road and the small gate and the narrow road. They are two entirely different destinations. It's not a matter of going along in this journey and then sometimes we're choosing to walk through the wide gate and sometimes we're choosing to walk through the narrow gate and then we're on the respective paths and then sometime we go, oh, I'm on the wrong path, I better go across to the other gate. It's not like we wake up in the morning and decide, which gate am I going to go through today? Will it be the wide one? Will it be the narrow one? Will I walk on the narrow road? Will I walk on the broad road? It's not like it's this choice of what am I going to do today? It's a life. You are either now at this moment on the narrow road because you've entered the small gate. Or you're on the broad road because you've entered the wide gate. You're on one or you're on the other. Are you in or are you out? That's the question Jesus is getting us to ask in these contrasts. And the contrast continues in Matthew 7, 15 to 20, where we have two trees and their fruit. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. When we think about fruit, and we think about good, and we think about bad, we might think about fresh versus rotten, or healthy versus diseased. But that's not the imagery that Jesus has here. We're talking here actually about the nature of the fruit. During a holiday we had a little time ago at Trofina Gorge, which is just outside of Alice Springs. It brings you out into the East MacDonald Ranges, and out there there's a whole range of things growing there, but out there there is these things called paddy melons, and they grow everywhere, and they look very inviting. And they look healthy and they look ripe to eat and they're not rotten and they're not diseased, but they're poisonous. They're poisonous to humans and to horses, to sheep and cattle and pigs. And so the best, ripest paddy melon is still bad fruit. In contrast, you can go and visit the Batlow apple packing factory, and this is where they grade the apples that they grow in the area. And so the top grade apples, they all get sent overseas. That's just what happens. We get the second grade in mainland Australia. We get the second grade apples. The third grade apples, they got shipped to Tasmania, which was quite funny. Because they grow their own apples. Yeah, so we don't give them good apples. Fourth grade apples, they would sell them and you could make stewed apples. We call it apple mousse if you've got a Dutchish background. You know, mix it all up. You can still cook it, make apple mousse. There was another lot of apples there that were still pretty good, and the pig farmers would come in and they would buy those apples. And so really, the apples that got thrown away were the ones really that had sit on the ground for a while, that had rotten, and they were no use for anything. The point is, the pig-grade apples was still good apples, relatively speaking. So this is the analogy that Jesus wants us to have in mind when we're thinking about good trees bearing good fruit and bad trees bearing bad fruit. It's the nature of the fruit. It's not the quality. It's the nature of the fruit, not the quality. What tree is this fruit coming from? So false prophets, even the best ones that seem to be so nice and so appealing and they've got amazing personalities and they're incredibly generous and they're community-minded, their nature is to deceive. Their nature is to deceive people away from Jesus. And so the most generous, most articulate false prophet is still bad fruit. Wolves in sheep's clothing, they look so great and so gentle and so kind and so sweet and so cuddly, and we just want to bury our faces into their fur and their fleece and enjoy the softness, but they're ferocious. They have a nature that is ferocious, who works against Jesus. They are bad fruit. That Christian that you know who sometimes swears, or who's been drunk. The Christian that you know struggles with gossip or struggles with anger. The Christian that you know watches porn or is a bit materialistic. Their nature is, I belong to Jesus. And despite the spiritual challenges that are going on, they are still good fruit because of their nature. This is the analogy that we have here. Remember the picture. The picture is, are you in or are you out? And so these verses here are not about discerning who are the good fruit Christians and who are the bad fruit Christians. That's not what this is going on here. What's going on here is a recognition of what their nature is. Because the reality is, isn't it, there are people of the world who actually look more Christian than Christians. And we'll even meet some of these people and we'll say of these people, boy, they would make great Christians. Jesus isn't talking about a comparative quality of our Christian service. Jesus is talking about what's the tree that you are hanging off? What's your nature? Are you hanging off the right tree? The false prophet who is a sheepskin wearing wolf, they are hanging off the bad tree and that makes them bad fruit. The believer whose identity is in Christ, even if they're stumbling and failing, they are still hanging off the good tree. Are you in or are you out? Now maybe as we've been making our way along at the moment, you're feeling pretty confident. Yes, I feel like compared to those people, I am in. That brings us to the next contrast. And this is the contrast where Jesus teaches that there are two perspectives. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons in your name, perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And so there are those who have the perspective that they are saved. Look at me, Jesus, I prophesy. I drove out demons and I performed miracles. I drove all those old people from the retirement village to church every Sunday. I'm generous with my giving. I visited the homeless. I taught Sunday school. I was baptized in the ocean in winter in Tasmania. And they can give you this litany of service and sacrifice, and they are helpful and they are sincere and they are generous and they're always working, and the survey that they have done in their lives and even the survey that others might do towards them is they must be in. And then Jesus comes along with his perspective and he says, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. He doesn't say, look, I did recognize you at one point, but you put on a disguise. And he doesn't say, you were running a good race and then you fell flat on your face and then that was kind of the end of it. He doesn't say, it looked promising, but really you failed to reach my standard. It's nothing like that. He says, I never knew you. I never recognized you. You and I, we were never in a spiritual relationship. And all these Christianese actions that you are listing, none of them was done in partnership with me. All of you were doing is evil. There's a man who's a really great sailor. He gets up. No one ever has to wake him for his watch. Whenever there is a bad storm coming, he's already on deck, getting everything ready and making sure that they can survive the weather. He knows how to read the stars and is skilled at doing that. He's a good leader and the crew like him very much and they willingly work for him and they willingly follow him. He looks like a really good sailor. Until you step back and you look at the whole ship, and he's sailing under the Jolly Roger, under the skull and crossbone. He's a good sailor sailing under the wrong flag. No matter how Christian our actions look, they are totally useless if we are sailing under the wrong flag. And so as we ponder what Jesus is saying here, we should really sit up and take notice. Especially when we read in verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not? It's not like a few, a couple, the Presbyterians. It's many from every denominational background, from every Christian walk. Many of these people are standing before the Lord, and they've had it in their lives where the people who are in the church with them have looked at them and said, look how Christian they are. Look how faithful they are. And they stand before Jesus on judgment day and they fully expect that they are in. They fully expect that Jesus is going to say to them, well done, good and faithful servant. But they fooled themselves. And they fooled others. And they haven't fooled Jesus. And instead of, well done, good and faithful servant, Jesus says, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. Are you in or are you out? It's a question that we've got to keep on asking and thinking about, isn't it? Because you've got the people like Judas. You've got all these people that are serving the Lord and they're doing amazing things and driving out demons, performing miracles. And Jesus says of them, of the many, I don't even know you. So there are times, brothers and sisters, when we need to stop and we need to think about our relationship. And we need to ask ourselves the question, are we sure? Are we sure? Are we sure that we're not on the broad road? Or are we those sorts of people who look at our lives and we go, I'm on this road and I'm struggling with Jesus, but I know I'm not on the broad road. I'm on the narrow road, but I'm just struggling in my relationship. Is that where we are? Or are we making excuses and we're going, well, I kind of want to be on the narrow road, but actually I am on the broad road. Is that us? Are we one of those people who are the bad fruit, false prophets, wolf in sheep's clothing, they're all the same person. Is that one of us? They're kind of a little bit easier to identify, aren't they? The wolf in sheep's clothing who is seeking to deliberately lead people astray. Not astray in the little things. You know, we can have differences of view, but leading people astray in their relationship, their foundational relationship with Jesus, that's what they're doing. Are we sure? Probably the biggest area we need to think about is, are we sure we're not fooling ourselves and relying on our Christianese? So how can we be sure? This is where Jesus brings us to the last contrast, and he actually is closing his sermon as well. And he starts with, therefore. Whenever therefore appears in the scripture, you know that what is being said after this is connected with what is being said before. There's always a connection. Therefore is a contextual thing that reminds us there's bigger issues going on here. And Jesus is saying, therefore, what I am about to tell you is connected with what I have just told you. So keep that in mind. Now, in this particular case, I think it can be rightly argued that therefore, that Jesus is the therefore, he's actually referring to his whole sermon. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine. And he's gone back all the way to beginning to Matthew, what we call Matthew 5 verse 3, and all those words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's laid it all out, and he's given this vision of what it means to be part of the kingdom of God and how to live for him, how to live a blessed life, how to pray, all of these things. And then he says, therefore. And so we want to see this as a summarizing of the whole sermon, but certainly because of where it is, Jesus is taking this and connecting it with what he's just said and getting people to think about these contrasts and getting people to really think about their relationship with him. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, there's a contrast, and it's a contrast between two builders and two results. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell with a great crash. So we're picturing two buildings. They seem attractive. They perhaps have been freshly painted. They would be both made from the same material, which is mud bricks for the walls and wood slats and thatching on the top for the roof. They're probably even the same size and a similar shape. But there's one significant difference between these two houses. One has been built by a fool. And so he gets there at summertime when the ground was hard and when the ground is dry, and he saw the days were sunny and he thought this is how it's going to be all the time. He didn't think about the future. So he doesn't lay a foundation. He just flattens out a bit of sand and then he builds a house on the sand. There's another man who's building the other house, and he's a wise man. And he knows the sunny days will not always be there, and he takes considerations of the storms and the difficulty and the waters, and so he digs through the sand until he finds the rock. He builds a foundation. And his house takes a bit longer to build than the guy who's perhaps even next door. And sometimes the wise man, as he's working on his house, he can hear the foolish man who's laughing at him for all these preparations and all those sorts of things. But the wise man, he just continues on in the course, building his house on the rock. Now, for all intents and purposes, these two houses would look the same or very, very similar. But there's one big difference. One of these houses has the illusion of being sturdy, but it has no foundation. The other one actually is sturdy because it has a foundation. And you find out which one is which when the difficulties come. The litmus test is the difficulties. The rains come. And you can just imagine the foolish man in his house, can't you? It's a Saturday morning, he's reading his paper, and then it's raining, and then there's this little trickle that starts coming underneath the house. Remember, there's no foundation. There's nothing to stop the water from coming underneath a house. And so this trickle starts coming in, and he's not too worried about that until it starts becoming a bit more of a trickle. And because it's mud brick, it starts eating the brick from the bottom because there's no foundation. And so this trickle turns into a flood that's now running through his house. His wife's running around the house going, do something, but what can he do? There's no foundation. And at some point, perhaps in a very short space of time, the foolish man is outside in the rain looking at where his house was, and it's been washed away. How can you be sure you are in and not out? The question that we need to ask ourselves is the building I have built standing on a foundation that will last? All of these roads that are talked about, it tells where it's going. The narrow road leads to life. The broad road leads to destruction. The broad road leads to destruction because the foundation of that road is self. I'll do it my way. I will live my way. I don't want to make sacrifices. I don't want to give up this particular life that I have. And there are so many people on this broad road. But the wonderful message of the gospel is that there are so many people on the broad road, which at one point included each one of us, who realize that the foundation of that broad road is destruction. And so somewhere along that road, the realization has enabled them to go and see the small gate and the narrow road and who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And they've put their faith, like many of us, we put our faith in Jesus and we put our faith in trusting him and following his words. And we can see the foundation. We know the foundation is there. The foundation for the bad trees is a soil of deliberate deception, fueled by a ferocious heart. In this particular case, it's not even that the foundation is wrong, it's a foundation that is seeking to and determined to stop people from seeing the foundation, who is Jesus. And so those who are walking on this road are deliberately saying, I want nothing to do with that foundation, who is Jesus. And I want to do my best to stop people from coming to know who Jesus is. It's a foundation of deception. So understanding the poor foundation of those first two is kind of a little easier. I think the challenge for all of us is the last one. The last one, where there's all of these people who look like they're in. All of these people to whom the rest of the Christian world has even been pointing and saying, oh, they're in. Look how faithful they are. And then of those, many of them are saying, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? And Jesus says, I don't know you. Are you in? Or are you out? When it comes to the foundation, we need to be really sure, where is my identity? Where do I find my ultimate purpose in life? Is my identity in what I have done? I've served here, I've done that, I know more about you than this. I'm one of those people who you should look to and admire and even imitate. I've done the hard yards and I deserve to be heard. I've done so much that I am sure that when Jesus sees me in heaven, he's going to come running out and he's going to fling open the gates of heaven and he's going to welcome me in. But in the whole time, I forgot to bring him on the journey. It's all about me, what I have done, and that's my identity, what I have done. Is that my identity, or is our identity in Christ alone? Where we understand that we only ever and always are part of God's kingdom because of what Jesus has done. His work, his sacrifice, his death, his resurrection, his calling in our lives, his grace, his love, his mercy. Where when we go to heaven, Our words are not going to be, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? But our Lord words are going to be, Jesus, thank you. I can only thank you. Because if it was up to me, I would be lost. If it was up to me, I wouldn't be here. And so I thank you, Lord, for coming into my life. I thank you, Lord, for the sacrifices you've made. I thank you. Because my identity into eternity is all because of you. Because of your work. Because of your foundation. And we want to be sure about this. We don't want to be this in this space where we go, yeah, we've heard this so many times. We've heard the gospel, so of course we know. Are we sure? Are we sure? Because there are many who are going to discover that they're not in. They're out. Where is your identity today? Is it in and only in and always in Jesus Christ, who gave his life, who sacrificed himself for us, who comes as is the embodiment of the love of God, who loved us so much that he gave his one and only Son? In full reliance that I'm calling on the name of the Lord to be saved. Is that where our identity is? And then because of his work, because of his foundation, we're going to be these people who pick up the word that is the foundation of our lives, and we're going to read it, and we're going to meditate on it, and we're going to pray with it, and we're going to put it into practice. Seeking to be the people that Jesus has called us to be. Not because we're trying to save ourselves, but we're just so thankful, Jesus, for what you have done. Redeeming us from eternal damnation and giving us eternal life. Holding on to that foundation, living in the knowledge that even as we move forward as believers, we will stumble, we will fall, we will fail, but we've got the foundation, and it's the foundation that holds us fast. Are you in or are you out? That's a question. It all comes down to the foundation. What's the foundation that you are standing on right now? Is the foundation in Christ, or is the foundation in self? Let's pray. Lord God, we just want to come to you at this time and ask God that you will bring into our hearts that real sense of knowing and understanding and believing that you've called us, that you've named us, that we belong to you. And Lord, today as we think about what's been spoken, as we think about what Jesus is getting us to think about, Lord, may we be willing to take the time to examine our hearts, to think about the level of our relationship with you, to think about our identity. And Lord, to recognize that it is possible to be a disciple, to be close to Jesus, to walk alongside him, even to perform amazing miracles, and yet not be with him. So God, for each one of us, let us be sure. Let us be willing to take the time to hear your Spirit as to whether we are in or whether we are out. And Lord, if we discover that we're not in, if we discover that we've perhaps been relying on our actions, that our identity is in self, perhaps we realize we're on the broad road and we've been fooling ourselves. Perhaps we've even been that wolf in sheep's clothing. We're asking, God, that you will take us from that space. We know, Lord, that in your grace and in your love there is forgiveness. There is mercy. There is standing in you. So we want to stand in you and you alone, Lord. Able to declare that we believe that Jesus is Lord and King of our whole life. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, Amen.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.